This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
I'm going to talk today about expecting God's favor in your mess. Expecting God's favor in your mess. I have a lot of download here to really lay a foundation, but I believe if you stay tuned in, I believe there's some helpful stuff in this message. The dictionary defines mess as a situation that is full of difficulties. A situation that is full of difficulties. Has anybody lived long enough to realize that life is messy? I mean, all you got to do is breathe, and it just seems like you're facing a mess. Well, Jesus promised you that you're going to encounter messes. John 16:33, we don't like to quote it. We don't usually put that promise on our refrigerators. But Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have messes. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have frustrations. It's not the absence of, in Christianity, we're not looking for the absence of struggles and messes. That's not Bible. That's magic. That's fantasy. Jesus says, you're going to have struggles and you're going to have frustrations and you're going to have difficulties, but get happy. Be of good cheer because I've already overcome everything that you will ever face in life. So what we need is to incorporate Jesus into our struggle, into our mess, so that we can be conquerors in life. Now, in this life, again, you're going to have messes, and sometimes the mess that we deal with is brought on by ourselves. We don't like to admit it, but sometimes we deal with the stuff we deal with because of our own stupidity, right? We just did it ourselves. We just did it ourselves. And then other times, our messes that we deal with are not the result of ourselves. They're a result of people around us, like our kids. Thank God my kids are out of the house. I'm telling you, the mess that we dealt with while we're... Listen, there is life after your kids hit that teenage years. I'm telling you, there is life after that. All of our kids are grown out of the house. Now we got grandbabies. Oh, my goodness. Now that is life right there. But sometimes messes come into our life because of other people, other situations, just the people that we're in relationship with. And then there's times that messes come into our life simply because we're just breathing. But here's what I want you to understand is that it's in the middle of your mess. Hear me. This is where we're going today. It's in the middle of your mess that you need to understand. That is the place that God does his greatest work. It's in the discouragement. It's in the pain. It's in the disappointment. It's in that hopelessness that God does his greatest work. It's in the weakness. It's in the struggle. It's in the addiction. It's in the regret. Say that again, in the regret. Say that again, in the regret. Does anybody have any regrets? It's in that moment that God can do his greatest work. It's in the darkness. It's in the despair. It's in that impossibility that God does his greatest work. I guess what I'm really here to say is that there is a miracle in your mess. There's a miracle. That's our assignment today. Is to show you that there is a miracle in your mess. And I want to look at a story that's not really familiar with most people in the Bible where God actually gets involved in a guy's mess. Now, what we're getting ready to read is a dream that God gives a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Most of us have heard his name, probably have heard little about the dream that he had, but King Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon in his day, that is modern-day Iraq. And in his day, he was the most prosperous, most successful man who ruled over, at that time, the whole known world. He actually controlled everything. But the Bible says that because of his arrogance and his pride and because he did not acknowledge God, he was just so caught up in his own success, his own money, his own thing that he was doing, He just basically did not have time for God. So God warns him in a dream that if he didn't acknowledge God, that his life was going to end in a mess. Let me just say this up front. There's a lot of stories we could have read about and talked about God getting in your mess. The reason why I like this mess is because this guy brought it on all by himself. And if God can get in the middle of your mess that you brought on all by yourself, are you hearing me, and do great things, then God can get in your mess that you didn't bring on all by yourself, or that somebody else brought on. So this is going to cover all your messes that you're dealing with. And if you think, well, this message isn't really for me, let me just remind you, you're either in a mess or headed towards a mess. So you might want to archive this teaching, because this is going to help you in 2018. Come on, any rowdy believers in the house? So let's read the text here. It's in Daniel 4, beginning with verse 4. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. Now he's getting ready to tell us the dream here. We're going to drop down to verse 10. While I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. All the world, catch that, all the world was fed from this tree. Then as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. And the messenger shouted, cut down the tree, lop off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze, and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him, now notice we go from a tree to a him, because this isn't really about a tree, it's about a person. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the wild animals among the plants of the field. When King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, it literally terrified him. He looked out all throughout his kingdom to try to find somebody to interpret this particular dream that he had. Finally, he finds this young man by the name of Daniel, a godly man. He's a young man, godly man, and he can interpret dreams. Thus, we have the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And I would encourage you, it's not that many chapters, but a lot of what I'm talking about and much, much more, especially about the Babylonian captivity, is addressed in this particular book. He finds Daniel who can interpret the dream, and Daniel comes to King Nebuchadnezzar to interpret the dream, and he tells Nebuchadnezzar that this tree represented his life. That this flourishing tree represented how God had, in such astonishing ways, blessed his life. How God had given him success and given him incredible resources. Again, he was the ruler of the whole known world at that time. He fed the whole nation. And so Daniel says, this tree is you, this flourishing, prosperous tree that is feeding the world, this success that this tree is representing your life. But then Daniel goes on to explain the second part of the dream. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, because your refusal and pride to acknowledge God, your prosperous, flourishing tree is going to be cut down. Now catch this. It's at this point that Daniel pleads with him to repent. He says, repent, because if you don't repent, your life is going to be reduced to a stump. You're going to go from being king of Babylon, if you don't repent, to acting insane, living like an animal in the field. I'm going to save some time here and not read the next text, and we'll save that for tonight. But this is exactly what happens, is that God gives him a year to acknowledge him. God gives him a year to get things right, and he did not get things right. He did not turn Godward at all. Let me just give this side note here, is that you need to be cautious that you don't interpret God's space or time to repent as God's approval upon your lifestyle. Well, I said a whole lot right there. In Revelations, where God addresses, where Jesus addresses the seven churches of Asia Minor, there's one church that's called the church at Thyatira. These were literal, real churches. And there was a woman in that church by the name of Jezebel. We've all heard that name. And the Bible says this concerning God, that God gave her one translation says time. The other translation says space. I gave her time. I gave her space to repent of her adulterous ways, of her inappropriate sexual ways, and she repented not, therefore judgment came to her life. And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll say, well, we'll interpret the space or the time to go Godward as God's approval upon our godless lifestyle. Not getting any amens yet, but I'm going to get some here today before this service is over. You might want to put that in your pipe and smoke it, because that'll help you. That'll help you. That'll help you in your time, in your space, to get it right, to cry out and say, God, have mercy on me. I can't tell you how many times I do that. Oh, God, have mercy. God, I know that I need help. God, I know that I'm not getting it all right. God, I know I didn't do it all right. God, I know there's things in my closet I don't want anybody to know about. God, have mercy on me. God, I'm so appreciative of the space that you're giving me, the mercy that you're giving me, the grace that you're giving me to get it right. And by your help, God, I'm going to get it right in 2018. Come on. So King Nebuchadnezzar, he refuses, and 12 months go by, and exactly like the dream, it happens. The guy goes completely insane, and he goes out into the fields, and he starts living like a wild beast. The Bible says that his hair grew to the degree that it looked like he had feathers, that his fingernails grew like the claws of an eagle. And for 7 years, for 7 years, he is roaming like an animal with a wild beast, eating grass like a cow. He goes from being king of Babylon, one of the greatest kings ever, to an insane man, naked, long hair, eating grass like a cow in the wild fields of his day. He loses it all, lost it all. But in the midst of this dream, God gives a promise, and this is what I want you to see. In Daniel 4:15, it's a powerful promise that God gives Nebuchadnezzar in this dream. It says this, but leave the stump. But leave, let's say that together. But leave the stump. Say it again. But leave the stump. Say it again. But leave, one more time. But. So we get the picture, right? King Nebuchadnezzar is insane. His tree has been cut down. He's living like a wild animal, and his life is reduced to a stump. He's a crazy man. Come on. Living like a wild beast. But in the dream, inserted into what is going on in his life, God says this, but leave the stump. Why would God say that? What in the world is God talking about here? God is saying, make sure that there's something left of what he used to be. Tie it down. Tie that stump. Don't let his complete life be destroyed. Tie that stump down, because I want something left of what his life used to be, because I know what's going to happen. He's going to turn back to me, and he's going to acknowledge me. And I'm going to do something great in his life. I'm going to raise him back up, and I'm going to grow his tree back. God is saying, I'll take what is left. I'll take the old, dead, messy stump of his life, and I'll make something great out of it again. Come on, that's a promise for all of us. Come on, you got to catch that. God said, leave the stump. Leave something about him. Something that he used to be. God said, tie that stump up. He said, because there's coming a day that he's going to acknowledge me, and I'm going to untie the stump, and I'm going to do something great with his life again. And did you know that's exactly what happened in this story? It's the most crazy story. In fact, let's read it right here. It says in Daniel 4, after 7 years, everybody say 7 years. 7 years, his life has been reduced to a stump. He's insane. Come on, I already told you, he's eating grass like a cow. He's out there with the wild beast. I mean, his hair's long, his fingernails long. He's a messy stump. And after 7 years, he gets tired of eating grass. Now, it should have only taken 2 months. For me, it had taken a day. I'm out of here now. But it took this arrogant, prideful person 7 years to say, you know what? I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of this stump. And the Bible says he goes Godward, and we're going to read it at the end of the time, Daniel 4:34. I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Come on, there's hope for somebody here today. And then I praised the Most High, and I honored and glorified him who lives forever. Notice verse 36. At that time, my sanity returned to me. I was restored. Somebody shout, restored. To the honor of my kingdom and my splendor returned to me. Now catch this. This is what you got to get today. And I became even greater than before. Come on, your best life is still in front of you, church. This is absolutely crazy. This is absolutely crazy. Nebuchadnezzar literally repents, gets saved here. He gives God his mess. He gives God his stump. Come on. He gives God what he has left. Remember, in the dream, he was a big tree, but he's reduced to a stump, and now he's in the fields, and he turns Godward, and he gives God his stump. He gives God his mess. Hear it. He gives God what he has left. And God takes what he has left and makes his life better than it ever was before. Oh, that was worth coming to church for. You mean to tell me God can take my mess and make it better than it's ever been before? Come on, somebody. That's where we're going today. God restores him, and God makes him even, he was already great. But when God got done with his stump, when God got done with his mess, he was greater than he ever was before. Now, stay with me. I want to establish this biblical truth, and then it won't be long. We'll be out of here. The point of this message is this. God is a God of what you have left. I want you to hear that. If you're going to cooperate with biblical principles, you're going to have to understand that God is a God of what you have left. Regardless what has been taken, regardless what has been lost, regardless what's been destroyed, I'm here to tell you there is something left in your life that God will use to make your life better and greater than it's ever been. It may look like a stump, it may look like a mess, but God will use what is left to restore and rebuild your life. Why is that so important? Because if you're anything like me, we get fixated on what's been taken. We get fixated on what we lost. We get fixated on the pain. But I'm here to tell you, it's not about what you had. It's not about what you lost. With God, it's about what you have. Somebody needs to hear. It's about what you have left. And I know I'm talking to the right people, because if you're anything like me, come on, we need that kind of a promise. Come on, we need to march into this 2018 and realize that God's getting ready. Some of you feel like the enemy, here's the application. Some of you are here today and you feel like the enemy has cut your tree down. And he is laughing at you and he is saying, you're never going to recover. But God is saying, it doesn't matter how big your mess is. It doesn't matter if it looks like a stump. I'm the God of what is left. And let me just put this in. Let me just insert that the quicker you get your eyes off of what has left, what has caused you the pain, because you have to do that, you're going to have to get rid of the offense. Because some of you just hurt at those people. I know what I'm talking about because I get fixated. I'm a pastor. I've been pastor for 25 years. God's blessed us with thousands of people. But I always get fixated on the people that hurt me and run off and leave. And we've gone through some hell. We've gone through some pain. I've seen some money stolen and taken and things. We've seen some crazy stuff. And I always get fixated on what's been lost, what's been taken, instead of what is still remaining. And some of you, listen, you need to get your eyes off of what's been taken. You need to get your eyes off of what's been lost. You need to let it go. You need to let it go and get your eyes on what still remains. Listen, God is saying, I can take your remaining years and make them your greatest years. Come on, anybody over 50 is getting excited right now. Woo! Come on. God is saying, I can take your remaining strength and make it your greatest strength. God is saying, I can take your remaining relationship. Has anybody lost some relationships? But God is saying, let it go, because what still remains, I'll make it your greatest relationships ever. God is saying, I can take your remaining resources and make them your greatest resources. Here's the principle. The miracle is not in what you have lost. The miracle is in what you have left. It don't make sense. But God's word don't make sense. He didn't ask you to understand it. He just asked you to obey it. Come on, we need to understand that. You see, while we're weeping over what's been lost, over what we, here's a big one, over what we used to have, God is looking at what is left to work a miracle in your life. And the quicker he can get you to focus on what he's focusing on, the quicker he can work the miracle. Because the miracle is not in what you lost. The miracle is not in what was taken from you. I've said it 1,000 times, and we'll say it 1,000 more times. The miracle is in what you have left. This is a powerful statement here, and is absolutely Bible and truth. If you have ever lost anything or lost everything, God is saying to you today, I don't need it to fulfill my purpose in your life. Come on, that deserves a better clap. Somebody ought to shout. Come on, that's the kind of God we serve. I said, that's the kind of God we serve. He don't need it. I said, he don't need it to work the miracle he's about to work in your life. God is the God of what is left in your life. Does anybody have anything left? Come on, has anybody got any breath left? Does anybody got any praise left? Does anybody got any part of that dream left? God is the God of what is left, and he'll use what is left. It may look as nasty as that diddle stump. And some of you said, Pastor, that's my life. You just showed me what my life looks like. That's my pain. That's my hurt. My life feels like that and looks like that. God is always looking at what's left to work a miracle. And I could show you story after story. The book of Job. We're going to go to a few of them. The book of Job. Most of us know the Bible. We know the book of Job. We know about the man who lost everything that he had. I mean, in one day, he loses all of his stuff. He loses all of his wealth. And then on another day, he loses all of his health. He's got boils all. And before this all started, he was the richest man of that time. He was the most wealthiest man of that time. And he loses it not over a week, but in one day, he loses it all. And he loses his health, and he's there setting and scraping the boils off of his skin. And then another day, his kids, his sons and daughters are killed. In a tragedy, he loses his family. His friends end up rejecting him. And then his wife, of all things, turn on him. She looked at him in his miserable condition, say, well, you're a hopeless case. Why don't you just curse God and die? It seemed like he had lost everything, yet Job still had a stump left. In his mess, this is what he said, Job 13:15. He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. So you got to understand, this is one of the oldest Bible books in the Bible. The Bible is progressive revelation. He didn't have the Bible as we have it today. He didn't know what in the heck was going on. He didn't know if God was trying to kill him. All he knew is that he says, it don't matter if God's doing this to me and God wasn't doing it to him. He didn't matter if God was doing it to him. He says, I'm going to trust him. In my loss, in my mess, I'm not going to look at what I've lost. I'm not going to look at my misery. I'm not going to look at my nasty wife. No, I'm going to give God my stump. Though he slay me, yet will I. That's what he had left. That's all he had left. That's all he had. All he had left was his trust. And then he said this in Job 19:25. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. What was he saying? I still believe my God can heal. I still believe my God can restore. I still believe that God can take my stump and make something great out of it again. He said, I know things didn't turn out the way I wanted them to. I wish things would have been different, but I'm not about, you guys got to get this determination. He says, I'm not about to quit on God. I still have faith. I still have trust in my God, and I know my Redeemer lives. Woo! And you know what happened? God used that faith and God used that trust in the mess. And the Bible says that God blessed him with double. That within a 12-month period, God gave him double for the trouble. His life was twice blessed. He had twice as much as when he first started. He gave God his stump, and God made his life greater than it was before. He could have stayed offended the rest of his life, hurt and miserable over what he had lost. But he looked to God and said, my Redeemer. Some of you just need to look to God and say, my Redeemer, I don't understand this. Life isn't turning out the way I thought it was going to turn out. But one thing I know, I'm not quitting on God. Come on, somebody say, I'm not quitting on God. Come on, you need to take your stump to God. That's what you have left. Come on, take your mess to God and watch God do something great in your life. Somebody shout yes. The book of Judges. It's a story about a man by the name of Gideon. Most of us know the story. God tells Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver my people from the Midianites. That was their enemy. They were 350,000 strong in military force. So Gideon looks around to put his army together, and all he can get is 32,000 men. How many of you know that those aren't good odds? He's got 32,000 men against 350,000 strong, their enemy. And then what happens is out of the 32,000 men, 22,000 decide, hey, we're afraid. We're fearful. We're going home. And now Gideon's just left with 10,000 men. And the Bible says that 9,700 of them were so complacent and apathetic that we're out of here too. And now he's only got 300 men left. And he's going up against a military force of 350,000 strong. And God says this in Judges 7:7. Remember, he's the God of what is left. And God said this, by these, Gideon, that remain, you shall defeat. By these that what? By these that what? By these that what? Not what left, not what you lost, but what's still with you. I'm going to take your stump, Gideon, and we're going to defeat. Come on, God will take your stump. Come on, God will take your stump and defeat your enemy. God is saying, Gideon, don't worry about what you've lost, because I'm going to use what you have left. Come on, some of you are looking at what you've lost. Some of you are spending your time looking at what left. God is saying, I can do something with your mess. I can still take, he says, I tied it up to make sure there was still something that was remaining so that when you look Godward, I start growing your tree back and making it greater and better. Come on, I'm preaching. In Exodus chapter 9, God tells Moses, worship team, you can come back. We're going to fake you out, make you think we're quitting right now. Are you getting this? Y'all okay? Can you handle a little more? I'm almost done. God tells Moses, This is how you're going to defeat Pharaoh and all the armies of Egypt. God says, Moses, take a handful of ashes and throw them towards heaven, and I'm going to do something powerful in your life. Now think about this. This is in Exodus there where God is setting the people free, his people free from slavery, over 400 years of slavery. He says, Moses, take a handful of ashes and take those ashes, and I want you to throw them Godward. Now ashes are the thing you get after the fire. Let me say it this way. It's what you have left. It's what you have left after the fire. It's what you have left after you've gone through the fire. Some of you have gone through the fire. You've gone through that addiction. You've gone through that divorce. Come on, you've gone through that bankruptcy. And all you got left is just some ashes. He says, Moses, I want you to throw those ashes in the air. I want you to throw them Godward. And the Bible says that when Moses did that, God transformed those ashes into dust that covered all of Egypt and afflicted all the armies of Egypt with sores and boils. All he did is he found what he had left, ashes, just a stump. How are we going to defeat our enemy? Let me tell you, God will take your ashes and defeat your enemy. But you're going to have to give them to God. Come on, you're going to have to go Godward. You can't be going to Facebook and Twitter and try to get your fix. No, you got to take those ashes. You got to take that pain. Say, God, you're the only one that can untie my tree and grow it back. You're the only one that can make my life greater and better than it's ever been. I just want to challenge some people today. Man, in that pain, in that hurt, we get it. We've all experienced stuff. But can I encourage you today? Quit looking at what you've lost. Because God is a God that'll take what you have left and work an amazing miracle. Take those ashes, take that stump, take that mess, and go Godward. It's amazing what God can do when you put your trust in Him. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible tells us about a woman who had a bleeding problem for some 12 years. And the Bible said she had suffered many things. In fact, the Bible says she spent all of her money trying to get cured. The more money she spent, the sicker she got until she ran out of money. Couldn't go to any more doctors. She's desperate. She's on her deathbed. But she still had something left. I'm just giving you some stories trying to cover everybody's mess today to let you know it don't matter the mess, because God can do something with your stump. And so all this woman had left, the Bible says in Mark chapter 5, is she said, if I can just get to Jesus and touch his garment, I shall be made whole. She just had a little faith left. Lost all of her money. Doctors couldn't fix her. She has no more hope. But she said, if I could just get to Jesus. And the Bible says she crawls to Jesus. What a stump. What a mess. She's crawling to Jesus. And she's saying, oh, if I could just get to the hem of his grave, if I could just touch my Jesus, I know I can be whole. And she gives God her mess, her stump. And the Bible says that when she touched Jesus, Jesus healed her of her mess. 2 Kings chapter 4. This is going to help somebody. There's a woman whose husband had just died. And now she's in debt. No life insurance. She's messed up. The creditors are coming. They're getting ready to repossess everything. The car, the house, the TVs. And in those days, they even took your kids. Some of you say, well, that's a good thing. Yeah. She's desperate. The creditors are coming. She's lost her husband. Now she's getting ready to lose everything she has. She's in debt. I'm just trying to cover some stories because I know some of you have some debt mess. It looks like that right there. You're in financial difficulties. You're in a financial mess. Some of you did it to yourself, but it don't matter. Some of you others did it to you. Some of you it's just life. And God said to that woman through the prophet, listen, what do you have left? What do you have? Isn't that interesting? God's looking at what she has left. Well, she said, I don't have nothing left. And that's usually what we do. It's all been taken. He hurt me. She hurt me. They did this. They did that. I'm ruined. My life is a stump. I don't have anything left. And then she thought to herself, well, you know, I do have this little jar of oil. It's just a little jar. It's kind of like a stump. But you can have it. And God takes her oil and multiplies her oil and pays off all her debt. And there was so much oil that they was able to sell that she lived the rest of her life off the multiplied oil. Come on. The miracle is not in what was taken. The miracle is in what is left. One last one. Ezekiel chapter 37. There's a story. God takes Ezekiel out to show him a valley of dry, dead, scattered bones. It's actually a picture of the hopelessness of Israel at that time. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel looks at those dry, scattered bones, just a picture of death. And we know the story. What does he say? God, I don't know. A lot of us have struggled with the interpretation of that. But actually what Ezekiel is saying, he's saying, God, I don't have any faith for this. This is a dead situation. God, all hope is gone. In fact, it says that in the chapter. All our hope is gone. We don't have no hope. We don't have no faith. I don't have a crawl. I don't have a shout. God, my mess is really a mess. I have no faith for this situation. But he still had something left. And some of you here today are saying, well, I ain't got no faith, and I ain't got no belief, and I almost feel like just quitting on God. This story's for you. Because this man gave God what he had left, and it turned this situation around. And I want you to read it here. Here's what he had left. So God used the only thing he had left in Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. In other words, God says, okay, that's okay. You can't believe, because here's the thing. Some of you feel like that. Some of you are looking at your marriage and you're saying, I don't think it's going to work. Some of you are looking at relationships and go, man, I just don't know that they can be fixed. I don't know about this business. I just don't have no faith for it to succeed. These finances, man, I just can't see them getting better. Man, my children, they're knuckleheads. They're just knuckleheads. I got an amen on that one. I just don't think, you know, I'm getting old now. I'm getting old. I don't know this dream's going to work. I thought it was going to work in my 40s, but man, I got to be 50 and 60 and 70. It's just, and you're saying, I just don't know. I just don't have faith for it. But God takes what this man has. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Stay with me real quick. In other words, I just did what God said to do. God told this man, speak life over this situation. He had no faith, but he had obedience. That's what he offered God. He gave God his stump. He gave God his obedience. Some of you, the best thing you could be doing right now is just showing up for church. You're hurting, you're bleeding, but you're still coming. And you're just doing what God says to do. And I'm here to tell you, you're giving God your stump. And God can take that stump and make something great. Come on, somebody. Instead of Ezekiel complaining and griping over the bad news, over the bad situation, he gave God what he had left. He gave God his obedience. He just kept giving. He kept tithing. He kept obeying the word of God. And he spoke over that mess, and God brought a hopeless situation back to life. Come on, just keep speaking. Keep doing what God, find out what God's word says, and keep doing it over. Come on, just give God your obedience. I know it's a stump, but just keep giving God what you have left. For some of you, that's all you've got left. You ain't got no faith. You're out of hope. If you'll keep doing what God says to do, keep speaking over that situation, hopeless things can live. So God is saying, as we close, God is saying, Give me what you have left. Give me your faith. Give me that hope. Give me that trust. Give me that praise. For most of us, give the ashes, what's left after the pain, and lift it Godward. Because the miracle is in what you have left. Does anybody have anything left? You betcha. You got some praise left. Come on, you still got some faith left. There's still part of that dream. Come on, does anybody have anything left? God's going to jog your memory because there's still something in the house. That God, and that's exactly what God says. He says, tie that stump up. Don't let anybody take it, because there's going to come a time that he's going to give me something to work with. And he's going to go Godward, and I'm going to raise that stump out of the ash pile, and I'm going to grow a great tree again. Somebody shout yes. Why don't you stand to your feet? Come on, I'm talking to people today. Some of you say, man, this is what I do. Man, this is my life. You know how I know it's your life? It's my life. I didn't say this at the beginning, but I'm here to tell you. You can have things in your life, in one area of your life going good, but then in other areas of your life, a mess. All of us are dealing with messes, and you're going to need this message. If you'll go Godward with your mess, the promise to Nebuchadnezzar is I'll make your life greater, better than it's ever been. We us preachers, we say that, right? We do the Joel Osteen thing a lot. Your best days are ahead. You know, we do that. I love that. But I'm just here to tell you, it's more than a Christian cliche. I've proven from the Word of God, it's absolutely his promise. So I close with this verse out of the book of Job, a man who lost it all. Here's what it says in Job chapter 8, verse 7. Even though you're not much right now, you'll end up better than ever. Come on, somebody. Better days ahead. Come on, better days are. Come on, I'm talking to some 50-year-olds and some 60-year-olds and some 70 and some 80. Come on, some better days are ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you believe it. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes. Some of you here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Some of you, you're just not right with God, or maybe you were right with God at one time. You had a relationship, but just kind of been doing your own thing, and you're here today and you want to get right with him, maybe for the first time, or maybe to rededicate your life. Before I hand this service over, I just want to encourage those that aren't right with God that you have something left, that if you give it to God, God will take your mess, that stump, that pain, that brokenness. And God's promise is he'll make something great out of your life. What do you have left? What you have left is a belief in Jesus. Maybe this world has stripped everything away, but you're here today and you know, I can call upon the name of the Lord and he will hear me. The Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you're ready to make that transition, you're ready to give your life, surrender your life to Jesus, I'm just asking you, give what you have left. That, what you have left is your belief. If that's you here today, so look all over this crowd. Everybody's eyes are closed. Believers praying. Just a holy moment. God is dealing with hearts. If you're not right with God, you're ready to surrender your life to God. You're ready to give him what you have left. But you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I need to. Yes, I see the hand. Hands are going, and just hold them up for a second. Hands going up all over the building. Just hold it up and say, that's me. I need to rededicate my life. I need to get right with God. I need to surrender my life. Hands going up. Yes, hands all over this place. You can put your hands down. I want you to pray this prayer together. Everybody praying it just as a means of support. And it's not just praying the prayer, but it's meaning it with all your guts. Say this with me. Say, Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean. Say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you rose from the dead forgive me, cleanse me. Today, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your deliverance. Today, I receive your freedom. Today, I receive your joy. Now, Father, take what I have left, bless it, and use it, and restore my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, somebody shout. Come on, somebody shout. Come on, how many of you got this today? Has this helped anybody? Now, I know there's football games, and I know there's things going on, but part two of this message is coming tonight. Listen to me. Hear me. I'm not trying to fight for a crowd, but here's what I am trying to fight for. I didn't need another time to preach. I believe what I have is going to help you. What I'm going to preach tonight, what I shared this morning, is God's part in the equation. Tonight, I'm going to show you three things that Nebuchadnezzar did that caused God to untie his stump and cause it to grow again. I wouldn't miss it for the world. We have a date with God, and I believe God is going to give us the second part, and it's going to help us as we march in to the greatest year of our life. God bless you guys. We love you.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.